Here we go, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. And we have a bunch of people here on the phone line, on the conference call. We have people joining in on this line, and I welcome those. If you want to, please say your name and location.
David in Tennessee.
Who is this from Tennessee?
David.
Hey, David. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well, David. Thank you, man. So I welcome all those who joined in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. And we had somebody else join in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you want to.
Michael in Camino, California.
Hi, Michael. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing? Hi.
Doing well. Thank you for being here, man. And we had two more people join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Nancy, Michigan here.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much. Everybody's well tonight.
I believe so, Nancy. And hello, Marilyn.
Hello. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
All right.
Sorry, I started sneezing on your height.
You gonna Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Joel from Chicago.
Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right.
Good to be here.
Good being here, man.
Thank you. I'm here for my, bedtime story.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, hi?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Nice to have you.
Hi, Lucy. Nice to have you.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
We had somebody else join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Good evening. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn in Arizona.
Hello, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Hi there.
Hello, Heiss. Hello, Heiss. It's Jim in Sedona. I hope your hand is better, and I look forward to the Monday session tonight.
Fantastic. How are you, Jim?
Good. I'm fine, and you sound wonderful.
All right. Equally with you, man.
Jim, shall I play some of your music tonight for everyone?
You don't have my CD.
I might.
unless you filched it from me, I don't remember giving it to you.
I think you did. But tonight's like an open mic.
No. This is your show, and one day I'll have mine.
It's not my show. I'm just the mouthpiece. Don't you get it?
Well, you're a wonderful mouthpiece indeed.
This is the law of one. So I'm just the mouthpiece, but it's everybody.
No.
Everybody.
Now I've buttered you up sufficiently.
He's the one.
All right. In the meantime, it's 6 o'clock actually, and we had more people join in. I welcome you all. Welcome you all. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
John.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
That must be Terry Brown. Hi, Terry.
Yes. Hi there.
All right.
Hi,
thank you.
Hi.
I heard John. Was it John?
Yes. Aspen, Colorado.
Hi, John. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
So, John, do you see all those famous people in Aspen?
It's not as good as it used to be, but occasionally, yeah, there's a few.
Who's the most famous person you ever saw?
Well, Kevin Costner's got one of a sweet property just near Aspen here, and so I see him occasionally.
Okay.
Eddie,
get a couple of those cans from Kevin. Put them in the freezer.
Freezer.
Yeah.
Good evening, and welcome. Oh, please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
You notice how we can listen in on everybody in the background? This is kind of like the mini NSA.
Not in the ground, right?
Right. Did you say we're on BBS? Hi.
Yes, we are. We're live on BBS worldwide.
All right. Well, welcome to all of you, and
Gary.
We're going to start. Listen to that. The background noise is pretty good today. And
this conference is being recorded.
See, I'll leave the mics open until there's too much noise. Is Dwayne there?
Of course.
I just want to get ready for the Star 6 here, okay?
All right.
Hello, everybody. This is Carla from Kentucky.
Hey, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hiya,
hey, Carla. Hi, Carla.
God bless everybody. How are you all tonight?
Hi, Carla.
So, hi. Let me say the date.
Hey, how are you, Carla?
It's August 5th.
Good.
It's August 5th, 2013. And we're kind of like doing a coasting show tonight. Geez, that doesn't mean we're like coast to coast yet. It just means we're coasting. you know, we had a big weekend. We did our 3-hour workshop on Saturday with Carla on the Ra Jesus connection. And then we did our Sunday grid healing. And this is kind of like a let your hair down. And we're just going to just do sharing, answering questions, tell us, read your emails for an hour, and give everyone more of a chance to express themselves. Because, you know, after I did that email thing where I said, who really wants to get emails for these calls? And I had that special list of just the people that want to be notified for the calls. Do you know what I'm talking about, Carla? You probably don't.
Yes,
do you?
I do. Uh-huh. You did that recently.
I did it recently. And, you know, probably 500 people got on that list. And I suddenly know there's 500 people. Who are the 500 people are who really are, who are making a difference for and who are supporting this work? Because I know that when you listen to somebody on the radio or the media or even giving a lecture, there's always this tendency to feel anonymous, and I used to feel that way. In fact, I didn't even want anyone to notice me. And but for whatever reason, this is not, people are not anonymous on this call, because even when we don't know who you are, we got these groups, they say, now if you're new to this, this is all, don't believe this, but there's this idea that there's millions of individual entities in higher dimensions that call themselves group souls that keep trying through the history of mankind to be noticed because they have the ability to help us. And in fact, part of their reason for existing is to help us.
Well, hey there. It's Janet Boudrum, and I...
There we go. There's the NSA coming in. So, they don't know. We don't know they're there. And so, the difficult part for them is, how do they get us to know they exist? And how are we sure that there's not some negative source up there that's tricking us? When it comes to channeling, this is a pretty common thing. When it comes to, hang on, let me move everybody. when it comes to channeling, it's very hard to know is this positive or negative. And even I always still ask that question about that. And the one thing that I started to notice is that it happened in 2004 where suddenly there was all this energy in the room and everyone was like really exalted where I was giving my first lecture. And I said, where is this coming from? And I did a channeling session. I said, could you explain that energy in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. This is a whole new take on channeling, okay? That I wasn't just having a conversation in a mental plane, but something up there could send energy into a room or connect with the room energetically so that the room was way more loving and people would leave the room. And Terry was selling books and they were saying, wow, I could see auras in the room. Wow, I could feel energy. I never felt that before. And so when I asked them, could you explain that energy? They said, that was us helping you. And I asked them, I said, could you do that on a conference call? And they said they could. And I said, now what do I do now? So I started experimental conference calls. And now we've been doing these calls for years. And since I was on George Norrie, suddenly thousands of people are paying attention to the work. And hundreds of you are on the call, and even though I'm just one person, there are millions of them, and this is what they say, they're here, they're paying attention. And there's a lot of things that can happen when you start making a connection. It's like, you know how good it feels when you have a good friend, or a good wife, or a good relationship, and you're around them and you feel better. And when you're not around them, you feel lonely. And suddenly, the idea is that there's these sources in other realms, and I'm calling them group souls. You want to call them God, if you want to call it spirit, but you know what? They talk, they think, they demonstrate to us that they actually exist. Either that or we're all crazy, and that's a possibility too. But we have a relationship, and they say they're working with all of us. And there's enough of them to give everyone individual attention if they want it. So how do you get that? Well, you keep coming into these calls, so you start feeling, make it like your own experiment. Don't believe it, but Wynn says this is possible. Come into these calls and see if you can feel that energy.
Just ask.
Coming in. Yeah, well, you know what? If you feel the energy first and then you ask, it even makes more chance. You know, some people ask, and they ask in their logical, conscious mind, okay, do this for me. Okay, make me win the lottery. I want you here. And if you do it long enough, you might get them. But if you come into these calls and you start feeling the energy, and then you ask, it's even, in my opinion, it's more strong, okay? And go anywhere where this energy is present and learn to have a relationship with the energy. And then the premise is that this energy can pay attention to you on a very personal way. I used to feel this energy when I was younger around certain spiritual teachers, but it seemed amorphous. It didn't seem personal. It probably was, but nobody told me it was, so I never looked for it to be personal. So I know that those of you that keep coming on to these calls, you know, and some of you come on almost every call we do, 3 times a week, I know you're doing it because you're feeling the energy, because it's not me, okay? It might be Terry and Carla, but it's not me. And I couldn't hold your attention for 3 calls a week out of my conscious mind. I could not do it, nor would I want to. I'd have to prepare for the calls. I'd have to think, who's my guest tonight? You know, I'd have to keep entertaining you. And I don't have the time to do it, for one thing. But another thing, this is better because we're having a party, a cosmic party, and so many of you are sharing in the energy and feeling it. And I got so many emails from people that all you have to do is keep showing up. And then after you start feeling the energy, then figure out how do you implement it in your life? How do you make your life change? And some people get stuck there. So I'm going to open the lines, and you're welcome to say anything, ask anything. And if I don't like it, I'm going to mute you, but I probably like it as long as it's within the context of everything. Let me see here. We have Marcia here. We have, I invited a doctor that I just sold a pendant to a couple of days ago. He might be here, if he's here. And so this is just a seat of the pants call. And let's start out. The lines are all open now. And so if you start to sell Amway, I'm going to cut you off. But otherwise, everything is probably okay. Anybody want to say anything, ask anything?
Dr. Phil is here yet.
What's that?
Dr. Phil is not here yet.
Dr. Phil.
Hi, Phil. How do you feel about that? Nice.
Thank you.
Say, Wynn?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Brief question. Is this conference going to be available on BBS Radio?
It is. We're broadcasting on BBS.
Okay. Thank you.
And it'll be on our archive of everything.
Danke. Thank you, sir.
And you know, what's your name?
David from Minnesota.
Okay. David.
Bless you, Wynn. Thank you.
Bless you. Like, it's all one. So, you know, when somebody tells me how great I am, I tell them it takes one to know one. So
we're all learning as souls.
We're all learning. I mean, I spent many years of my life sitting in rooms watching other people be great. Okay, and I learned so much from them, and you know, I realize that it's kind of transpersonal. At a certain point, when you get into this connection with group souls, and you realize you work with them, and they can work with people in this realm, and that if I just show up, they show up. It's all wonderful. If somebody wants to say something, could you say your name and your city?
Joel in Chicago.
Joel in Chicago. Go ahead, Joel.
I was curious from both Carla and Terry. When they're channeling, do they mean there's the information that is, you know, pouring through the individual? Is it something that they get it from word for word, or do they get this, you know, a burst of information and then it's emanated, or is it pictorial? Is it verbal? You know, kind
no,
of?
It's in concept.
It's in concept.
It's like a bomb
concept. It's like a
concept.
Bomb concept. It's
almost
instant.
I hear it.
I hear it.
Wait a second, Carla. Carla, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, and my echo does, too.
I just muted it.
I think you fixed
it. I just muted this particular line.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it feels like it's almost infinite, and you have this desire just to linger with it and work with it because it's so much there. It's so complex and so interesting, but you have to catch it, and you have to put it into words really quickly because you catch it, you put it into words, it's like translating, and then you catch the next one. Catch, translate, you get another ball of concept, translate, toss it out. And it feels Apache, the process does, from the standpoint of the translator, because you're catching the concept and then you're interpreting it. But when you listen to it, there's no, it's all very smooth and it sounds just fine.
Now, the raw material is not like
with me, it's the same way. I'll get a concept, and sometimes I get the concept, and I know the words, and I put it in the words. Sometimes I'll get the concept, and I have to search for words, and sometimes it's a concept where I know the concept, but I don't know of any words in the English language that would describe that concept.
Right.
So I just
to
work around it.
And you just do the best you can, you know, to get the
That's
sense
right.
of it the best you can. And then, and if you linger too long with it, you'll lose the contact. So you
right.
cannot. You have to be very disciplined about it. You have to go ahead and do your best and let it go. So
yes,
for
sure.
somebody that really likes to think the words through that you're saying like I do and make sure that's exactly what I meant, et cetera, well, it's a challenge. It's a discipline because you don't get that chance. You don't get to think about it. It's like working on your feet. You just lay your tail over the line and you go.
Now,
I'm the same way as you because, you know, I like to work with it. I like to get it in exactly the right words, but, you know, it's just coming on by. In fact, there's been times when it's coming so fast, mm-hmm. I have to say, slow down, please.
You know, I have to say, it's really good because I can't get a word in edgewise. Did you notice that?
What would you like to say, Lynn?
Well, I'm really glad I can. It's actually refreshing, okay? Yes, I'm used to saying, uh-oh, I better jump in because there's a little pause there. What's going to happen next? But, you know, a couple of things. One thing that's really funny is Terry has gotten so much better at bringing this stuff through. If any of you ever listened to our old stuff, some Monday, I'm going to put together a show, and I'm going to play. I'm going to bring through. I'll play some of the things that, well, like in 2002, 2003, and you can hear how it all sounded at the very beginning. And you know, one thing is they would sometimes they'd be talking through Terry, and they'd say, "Oh gosh, Daphne has a better vocabulary. She would know the word." and
they'd say, "Where is Daphne?"
And I mean, I'm sitting in the middle of this, you know, saying, "Is this really happening?" Okay. And, you know, originally I never thought we could do publicly what we're doing with Terry now. Never thought that. Because if she was channeling, she would, you know, Daphne sounds very articulate. And as you know, she runs things together, and her diction is perfect. And when Terry would do a session, she would say, "Wait a moment." Then there'd be this four-minute pause. And I remember one time we did a public session. And somebody that I invited came up to me and said, "She's making it up. She's just trying to think of what she's going to say next." And so, you know, she is. It's just amazing how precise she's gotten. But, Carla, in the way that you described it, where you said, you know, you get concepts and you convert them into words, that mm-hmm. was not the case with the raw material, right?
In the raw material, that was different because it was the only time in my life that I've ever gone into trance, gone to sleep, what it felt like. And the raw group used my body and spoke without reference to me. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was different. And you can see the difference when you read the material. It doesn't sound like the rest of my channeling.
Right, right. Now, I remember there's certain people that go into trance, and they take you over. And in a sense, that's a little more scary because you can't monitor what you're saying. And if something happened or something negative took you over, it could put something out that wasn't true. Even though I know you do your challenge at the beginning,
yes,
and maybe that's enough to protect it. But do you think that when you go into a trance, you go into a higher dimension?
No, I think it's that you're simply allowing the entity to use your equipment, your physical body, and whatever their vibration is where you've gone.
Mm-hmm. So there's no filtering. There's no arbitrary decisions. They feed words right through you, right?
Something like that. That's the deal.
That's the difference. Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you for that question, Joel. And let's see. I'm going to unmute everybody and see if we got too much noise. Anyone else have a question or a comment?
I have something I wanted to say. This is Teresa and Granger.
Yes.
May I go ahead?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I wrote a song for Michael, Carmichael, a few weeks ago, but it was also for St. Michael the Archangel, and I had a couple of the people on the call ask if I would sing it. Well, it was during the time when people were coming into the call, and it was not an opportune time. So I wanted to sing you the song I wrote, and it's called Michael.
Now let me just ask you, will it be about 3 minutes? Can you keep it to that?
Yes.
In case it's three and a half minutes. Just in case it's ten minutes, it would be too long. Okay.
I understand.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right. His name is Michael the song. He leads me wherever I need. His name is Michael, the one I've known him for always, my whole life long. He's always there when I need him. He's never far away. He always knows when I need his help. He's just a call away. His name is Michael the song. He reads me, feeds me, whatever I need. His name is Michael, my own. I've known him for always, my whole life long. He picks me up when I've fallen down and sets me on my way. He always listens for my call, even when I'm far away. His name is Michael the Strong. He reads me, feeds me, whatever I need. His name is Michael, my own. I've known him for always, my whole life long. He speaks to me in my dreams at night and lets me know he's near. He whispers in my ear. I listen close so I may hear. His name is Michael the Strong. He reads me, feeds me, whatever I need. His name is Michael, my own. I've known him for always, my whole life long. When I need help and I need a friend, he's right there by my side. He takes my hand as we walk along the path life brings my way. His name is Michael, my
around, there will be no fear. He makes me feel so strong. He's always with me, come what may, throughout the night or day. His name is Michael, Michael, Michael the Strong. He reads me, he reads me.
Sometimes people learn more when they lose their possessions than they do by holding on to them. And have courage and petition the higher realms and knock on doors, make phone calls, and stay cheery. That's my comment. Anybody else want to make a comment? Carla, Terry?
Yes. This is Rosalie. I'd like to add, because I've been having several clients with low finances, and I'd like to say happiness is a choice. So just decide to be happy and focus on the beautiful stuff high, or beauty, things you love, and pray.
I remember one time in my life, I was about to be homeless. I didn't have any money, and I was selling things at events. And I remember, and I'm not telling you guys to do this, okay? I went out and spent $3,000 in bad checks on Friday. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I certainly can.
Yeah,
can you hear my appalled gas?
I hear you. I spent $3,000, and then I had to go to this festival, and if I didn't make enough money, my checks were all going to bounce on Monday. And I remember starting out looking at the crowd with total terror and thinking, how am I going to get these people to buy? And I said, no one is going to buy anything if I have this attitude. And I managed to start saying hello to people. Hi, how you doing? And just being cheery with the crowd. And within a half hour of that, people were buying like crazy. And by Monday came, I made a big profit and paid off all my checks. And actually, it funded my little business at the time. So I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you, though, learn if you're looking for a job, looking for help. You got to be cheery. You got to get out of your anxiety and your fear, and because otherwise, people do tend to reject you. They like cheery people, and it's your challenge to figure out how to do that, to forget in that moment that things are tough, and put out your best to the world. That's my little experiences on that. Okay, let me see if we got another one here. There's another one here from Morgan, but I'm not going to open you up, Morgan. I screwed up last time. let me see here. We have something from Marsha. Marsha, I'll get to yours in a moment. That's going to be an intense one. And anyone that's on the line, if anyone is on the internet, send me an email, winfrey@yahoo.com. I'm reading my emails. Anyone on the line want to say something?
Yeah, Terry.
Who is that? Is that Terry
in Boulder City? Yeah.
That's what I thought. Terry in Boulder City. Terry,
hold on. I'm going to mute the lines and open up Terry's, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Terry, go ahead.
Okay. Just in the last month, I've been connecting with three different people in three different places, and they all tell me that they're getting messages from somewhere, three different sources, and I'm not sure why all this is coming to me, and like my role would be, I've been directing them to your calls and to try and get them to listen to you. Whether or not they are, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it, but I'm not sure what to do with this. Any suggestions?
Well, start off, you don't have to think you have to do anything. And the key to get somebody interested in this kind of work is to not try to sell it to them, not to be over-enthusiastic, and to make just to drop a comment, I got something you may find fascinating. Get their email. Send them, my little video on my home page, has been very effective in intriguing people. And, what I learned is you can't tell people what this is. They have to discover it. But you can intrigue them to want to check it out. And so figure out how to intrigue people, what you can do, what you can say, you know, just in a casual way, you know, this guy seems to know a lot about what you're doing. Check out his website. Here's his website. And at that point, you just let it go. You can't be responsible for what someone does after you give them something like that. And Carla, you want to say, Carla or Terry?
Yeah, it's basically thinking of yourself as a Johnny Appleseed of spiritual thought. Unless somebody asks you, you really can't express yourself. You have to relate to them on their level, not on your level.
Okay.
Go where they are. Attach, you know, what they're concerning, and listen to them. Just be a listener. Be a good listener.
Well,
but if somebody asks you, then you can open up and do the best you can to explain anything that they ask you about. But
right.
I like to think of it, you know, that beautiful old lore, American lore of Johnny Appleseed and why all the apple trees grew out in Washington and Oregon, is that he was walking and traveling around, and he would eat an apple and then toss it over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of just dropping a little, you know, oh, you might try Wynn's conference calls and give him the link. And I've really enjoyed them, you know, and then just go on. Don't look back. Never look back to see if it worked. It's not important. You don't be attached to an outcome. You're an instrument. So, you know, you offer the opportunity that you see a place for, and then you simply move on. That would be my thought.
Okay.
Yeah, here's what not to do. Don't go up to somebody and say, God, I was on a workshop, and they said that Ra was the father of Jesus.
No,
you
got
to check this out, okay? You know, that's only for people that have been checking us out, that have felt the energy, that are intrigued. And, people are scared by that because they're afraid. See, when you say anything exalted like that, people are afraid they're going to give up their power. And something that's truly spiritual is empowering, not disempowering. And they have to discover it. That's the thing I learned. This is something that you have to discover. And the key is to intrigue people. Somebody I know go into an office every day and they put the reincarnation of Edgar Casey on the corner of their desk. And eventually somebody said, what's that book about? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you can be proactive. You can do things, but do things that make people ask questions. Okay?
Right. Got it. Thank you.
And, okay, anyone else? Okay, let me go. I'm going to mute everybody. We'll come back. Keep thinking of your questions. Or if anyone else has a song. Let's see. I'm going to... This is from Wilbert in Brooklyn. I keep hearing you and Carla talk about our sources and say, just ask. Well, I take this literally, and once I become aware of their presence, I have been asking them to do a lot of things. I can't imagine having the creators of the universe in my presence and not asking them to do something magical that would impact my material circumstance. Of course, they have not done all the cool stuff I asked them to do. However, they are very swift in communicating wisdom and truth. So what should we ask our sources to do, and what's off limits? Or should we just ask and be in joyful acceptance of whatever they choose to do or not to do for the highest good of all concerned? Carla.
I think that you have to realize they are information. They are not miracle workers. The energy can be a miracle worker by itself, but it is not their intention to do that. It is their intention to be there and to strengthen people who are trying to seek spiritually and trying to evolve in mind, body, and spirit. These are informational sources. And keeping that in mind, you can kind of figure what's good to ask and what's not particularly useful to ask. They're not miracle workers per se. They're not healers per se. They are sources of information that hope to share with you in a way that will help you and serve you and lift you up. And they also have a carrier wave, I guess you'd call it, where if you are meditating and you don't have that good of a signal, you can ask for their help, and they will come into and meditate with you, and just you will feel that the additional help there, like a carrier wave. And it's a beautiful thing to feel. Wynn or Terry?
Now, this is, hi, it makes me think what you said yesterday, Carla, on, you know, how you ask for things, that it comes from your heart and through words, which creates a certain vibration. And I catch myself frequently, like on like when I'm on the team shift call, for example, or when I do my personal prayers, that you're halfway there, like you're speaking your words, but your heart, your frequency isn't there. And I think that's an important aspect, that you that it resonates from your heart,
mm-hmm.
when
that's
you ask.
True. Yeah.
Now, I've been observing this for quite some time. And, of course, I had this amazing thing that happened with my sister, where I said, can you help my sister? And then her lupus disappeared. And I said, how did you do that? And they said, we just projected an energy into her blood and took the lupus out. And I said, does this mean that we can put this out and everyone can have a healing like that? And I wished that that was true. At least I thought I wished it was true at that time. And I'm trying to find what are the circumstances where an intervention actually happens, and that where you can, somebody should, well, we should ask that question on Wednesday and have them answer it through Terry. But what I've noticed is there's an aspect of each of us that can move into the field, that this realm is created as a download from other dimensions. Everything that we see that looks fixed and stuck and rigid is really connected to frequencies, tying it all the way up through the dimensions. And that when you can move your space into those frequencies, now this is kind of a very subtle thing, because you can't just say, okay, move me to the other frequencies. It's almost like you're a little bit off center and you're operating on an intuition, and you say something and it connects. Sometimes a person will have a very powerful unconscious message they're putting out to the universe. For example, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. They don't even know they're saying it. And their ego might make them think they're really great on an ego level, but their real being is feeling unworthy. And then they go into a little meditation, and they say, okay, I want to win the lottery. Well, what's happening is you got a big mixed message to the universe. I want to win the lottery. I want to win the lottery. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. And for a miracle to happen, your inner subconscious energy, thoughts, not even thoughts, inner messages should align with what's possible, because that way it allows more of an intervention or help, because they're not taking away your spiritual lessons. You see, if you have that thing of I am unworthy, and you ask, and something that would happen would be really awesome, suddenly you're getting this learning that I can say I am unworthy and amazing things happen. So you're getting the wrong training. The training has to come like I am worthy, and you have to get your worthiness at a very deep level, and that starts the energies moving into other dimensions. Sometimes people can feel the energies on the line, but they still have those inner tapes playing over and over again. I am not worthy. I'm not healthy. I'm sick. I don't look good. People don't like me. And there needs to be a working out of, first of all, honestly identifying your own tapes. Look at what's running in you and see if, by looking at them, it's the first step of changing them, okay? That's what I see. Because I do know I've watched miracles happen. Some of you have been on our calls. Heise was talking, and I remember he was coming on the calls for 2 or 3 years, and on one Sunday call, he said, I want to put my son's warts in the light. His son had warts on his hand. And 2 days later, he emailed me and said, when? The warts are disappearing. and before you know it, they were gone. And I think they were there for quite some time. I mean, we had amazing things happen on this line. And, you know, Heis has actually been...
When?
Where'd you go?
Let me go check it out.
He's with me, but I can't hear him.
It's while I'm walking out there, you find him, it's like sometimes it works in reverse. One time, hello?
Yeah, go ahead. He's in Studio 3, okay?
Okay. I had entered a drawing, and they had all these prizes, and I think, gee, I'd really like that prize, I'd like this prize, like this prize, and I didn't win any of them, and I thought, I'm going to win the grand prize, and I don't want to win the grand prize, because it's a drawing, and I'm an artist, and it's not my style of painting. I could never hang it anywhere. So I'm sure I'm going to win it. And the artist is going to come over and say, isn't this a grand painting? So that's exactly what happened. I won it. And the artist came over and, here's my painting. And I didn't like it. And so I ended up giving it back to be redrawn. But it just went in reverse.
That's an interesting story indeed. Well, I think sometimes when there are people on the call that really have a moment where they are inspired and they are natural healers, the energy that is on the call isn't coming necessarily from the source of another realm. This other realm is creating an atmosphere, a milieu, in which healing can happen. And then a person who is a sensitive healer is on the line and is working that energy.
Are you there?
Not necessarily. Yeah, Wynn, I'm glad you're back. You sort of...
Oh, I just gave a really brilliant comment.
I was sure of it. I thought this is so bad. But, well, these things happen.
All right.
Anyway, we will work on with the question at hand.
All right. Well, to make my comment really short, I said, oftentimes people have inner tapes that totally contradict what they're asking for. And I use the example of being worthy, and that you could be saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And then you ask for something that you would have to be worthy for to have it happen. And the key is to identify your inner tapes that are running, and that you don't even know that are there because they're below the surface, and to be totally honest with yourself. And once you start being honest about your inner tape, you can start overriding it. You can start. And then I said, one of the things that makes somebody feel worthy is actually doing anything that makes a real contribution to another person. And because you have to feel worthy when you make a contribution, and it starts to build up that inner muscle, and then you open yourself up to all kinds of synchronicities at that point, and you've opened up a pathway to the higher realms where you get help with things. And remember, it's only you helping you. They're you. There's the law of one. So there is no them in you. And as long as you think it's them helping you, the more you can tune into the law of one, of it's all one, it's the highest aspect of yourself helping the lower aspect, okay? And then I got a email from Susan. She prayed for a job close to home for several weeks and started telling people she's going back to work close to home. You got a call from a woman that I work for off and on. She offered me a temp position. And then after 4 months, I started to pray to make more money. And today I got the opening to ask and got a $3 an hour raise. And I attribute it all to prayer and asking. Every thought is a prayer. Be careful what you think. And Susan, thank you for asking that. And at 6:54, I wanted to bring up Marcia, because Marcia has kind of an intense thing she's going through. Marcia's really sensitive. She's really psychically aware. And she gets negatively attacked. And she doesn't know how to get rid of it, okay? And the negative attacks come in the form of people around her. And let me see. I want to open up her email.
Left to Marcia. She's a beautiful being.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And by the way, Kareem in Philadelphia. Hi, how are you? I see your email. It's nice. I'm glad you're on the line. Thank you for being here. 6:55. You know, we have about 2 minutes to answer Marcia. And Marcia, I suggest you ask that as a Wednesday night question and bring it up again and see what happens. Carly, have anything short to say for someone who gets negatively attacked?
Well, I think that the key to dealing with negative attacks is to know what you believe, what you stand on, what you live for, and what you would die for. And then when you feel that you're being negatively attacked, you say, be gone in the name of, and then you put it, that principle down. For me, it's Jesus the Christ. So I say, be gone in the name of Jesus the Christ, whom I serve with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and my neighbor as myself. And I draw a circle around me, and I draw an actual circle around myself and clap in front and clap in back as I draw a circle around me across which no mortal error dares to set its foot. And clap, that's the end. And that is a very strong. Now, that works if you believe in Jesus. Now, if you believe in something else, then you create your prayer according to what you have a belief in. So that it's very genuine and very strong. And I think that you'll find good luck with that.
All right. You know, just a very quick comment from my side. Around 2003, when I was with Daphne, we were being negatively attacked. And then I was being negatively attacked. And I did a session with Terry. And, you know, I started to sense that there were forces that didn't want me to do this. And it was scaring the hell out of me. And we did a session, and I asked them, I said, how do I stop this? And they said, dedicate yourself to your highest purpose, and you'll never lose connection with our energy, and you'll be protected. And that's how I got drafted, okay? If they didn't tell me, if I didn't have those negative attacks, and if they didn't tell me that, I don't know if I would be doing what we're doing right here.